Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Like Mike, I didn't hear a very resounding happy Sabbath. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Have you noticed the farmers' fields lately?
Crops are really getting high. Pretty soon you're going to see harvesters gathering the crops. And I'm sure if you have a garden yourself, you pick some produce, you know, some tomatoes or zucchini or something of that nature. A young man graduated from Texas A&M School of Agriculture and he started out to raise a chicken farm. So he bought 100 acres. He plowed the acreage, planted with field corn, you know, to feed the chicks. Then he went out and bought 1,000 chicks, planted them feet first, watered them daily, but to his surprise, they died. Realizing his mistake, he went out again and bought another 1,000 chicks, planted this head first this time, watered them with Miracle-Gro, but again, they died. He was so upset. He sent an angry letter to his alma mater, explaining all of his work and how his 2,000 chicks had died, and he wanted to explain to them, for them to explain to him why he had failed. Finally, after several weeks, he got his reply. He opened the letter and it said, "Dear alumnus, we are amazed that one of our graduates could make such a glaring and stupid mistake. We cannot possibly help you unless you first send us a soil survey." Now, you know, we think that this is funny, right? But we could never be that backward, could we, about planting and harvesting? I know when I first met Jeannie, I was a city boy. She was a country girl. And we were planting onions. I was given onion sets, I know the term now, and proceeded to plant several rows. I mean several rows. Upside down. I had to go back, dig all those sets up, and replant them correctly. Could we be backwards about sowing? I was. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I invite the Holy Spirit to be with me, to embolden me and empower me with your words, that they may reach the audience whom you want to receive the message. And we give you the praise always and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. There is an ongoing harvest today some of us know very little about. Somebody watching us work may wonder, what are we doing? Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. In a news report on the drought in the West, one farmer said his grandfather worked very hard to harvest 100 acres. But his sons could now harvest 25,000 acres each in today. Pete Miller, my nephew, is one of the elders at the Brattleboro Church in Brattleboro, Vermont. He's a dairy farmer. When his grandfather was young, they had 33 dairy farms in the area. When his father was a young man, it was reduced down to 12. Now, there is only 3 farms in the area. But they produce more milk and service more than they did 75 years ago. Yet modern technology doesn't come close to the image Jesus is trying to give to us. The harvest is all around us. It's so bountiful, so overflowing, so ripe, ready to pick. Can you imagine someone going out and spreading seeds in a garden, just everywhere? And everything grew, and every plant bore fruit. You couldn't get to the fruit fast enough in the middle of the garden. You had to crush other fruit to get to it, didn't you? Because it was all around you. More fruits and more vegetables than you could ever imagine. But everything doesn't come up at once, does it? There's always something coming up, something setting on, something ready to pick. There's always something to harvest. This is the image that Jesus is trying to express to us. the harvest is plentiful. But we might ask, what is a harvest? We understand what abundant is, but what is it? When Jesus called a fisherman named Peter, what did he ask him to do? He said, I will make you fishers of men. The harvest is the harvest of human souls, not of vegetables and plants. Peter spoke of this work in his second letter when he said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand. Slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. As Paul puts it, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors of Christ, and he is making an appeal through us. The harvest is out there, right in front of our eyes. All we have to do is look around to see the lost souls and searching for hope, reassurance, comfort, and peace. They are so desperate that they will seek them anywhere they can find them, through work, through money, through power, through prestige, through alcohol, through drug addiction, and even prostitution. But guess what? They're never satisfied. No matter where they seek to plant themselves, it's all barren land. Yet they keep searching, keep trying, keep striving to fulfill their desires. It is these that Jesus said are ripe for the kingdom. Cuban communism was touted as a paradise for the masses, that this new state would meet all the needs of the people, and religion would be seen for what it was, an opium for the masses. When Pope John Paul II visited Cuba, people came out by the thousands to hear what he had to say, to seek what he had to give, and to receive what he had to offer. Thousands were repented of their sins and received Jesus Christ, and hundreds were baptized that week. Since that time, many people have started coming back to the churches and to fill not only the pews of the Catholic Church, but of the Adventist Church, of the Baptists and the Pentecostals. In fact, all the churches of Cuba. In that one short week, the Pope would have had more impact on that island nation than Castro had as a dictator in all of his life. Why? Because people were hungry and they were fed. They were thirsty and they were given something to drink. The Pope offered them what Castro couldn't. He fed them and quenched them with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Even today, around the world, those who hunger and thirst for those things that communism, democracy, or a monarchy cannot offer them. There's no job achievement, no relationship can ever take the place of the forgiveness of sin, or the peace which passes understanding, or the love which has no limits, and of a God who knows us through and through, but yet still calls us my beloved. Amen. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, yet the laborers are few. If there are so many folk out there longing, seeking, hungering for those things that only God can give, don't you think God would be sending out laborers to every field, to every corner, to every house, to knock on the doors, to seek individuals who are themselves seeking and finding those who are longing to be found? Don't you think he would be doing that? Calling to those who are longing to hear his name. But he says the laborers are few. So why, if there's such a great need, are the laborers so few? One reason that comes to mind why the laborers are so few and are not willing to go, even though we call ourselves Christians and we say we are disciples of Jesus Christ, is that many of us are so caught up and consumed with living our own lives, making ends meet, raising kids, paying taxes, and just managing the chaos in our lives, that we may feel that we're not able to labor in God's fields. Or maybe it's because we're unwilling. In a vision, Isaiah saw God sitting on his throne, and he heard God say, "Who will I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah stepped up, stepped forward and said, "Here I am. Send me." Many of us have no desire to see such a vision. Many do not want to hear God's question. Many do not want to go and do not want to be called. Or maybe we're like Moses when God appeared to him out of a fiery bush and said, "I'm sending you." Moses replied, "Who, me? What if they ask me a question I can't answer? What if they don't believe me? God, I'm just terrible at preaching. I can't speak. Send someone else." And God said, "I'll send Aaron with you, but you are going to go. You." We're an awful lot like Moses, aren't we? Resisting God's call because we're afraid. We live in fear that keeps us unavailable for the presence and the power of God to work in us. So we keep ourselves too busy to listen, too blind to see, and too occupied to labor. But there's another possibility, though, one that's not really easy to hear, but one you must hear. Do you realize every armed force in the U.S. is suffering a major shortage in recruitment, except for one, the Marine Corps? A short while ago, a news report found that every branch of service, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, focused its recruiting advertisement on the personal benefits an individual could get, such as money, education, or world travel. The Marine Corps, on the other hand, focused their advertising on honor, duty, country, on everything an individual would be asked to give up. And every commercial would conclude, "We're looking for a few good men." Other branches would joke, that's all they could find, just a few good men. But who's got the recruitment problem? Are you willing to serve? What are you willing to give up to serve? It may be God has looked out on his church and found only a few that he would even send and willing to send. Jesus himself said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Do you realize God brings many opportunities for you to labor in his fields? Those tasks start out small, with little to do, and demand little of you. He does this to test you, to see might assess your spirit, determine the grit of your heart and of your soul. He looks to see if you are willing, if you're open to carry out his will in that moment. He's looking for a few who are steadfast, courageous, and trusting. If you are faithful in those little things, God promises to give you more, doesn't he? That's what the parable of the talents was all about. It's through these little things that God determines if you are capable of handling greater things. The goal of these tasks is to lead us to a place where we become more responsive to God, to his will, and more dependent upon the Holy Spirit to accomplish his desires. It's a harvest field. If this harvest field of the world is human souls, then what we're called to do is not a human effort. It's a spiritual work. We cannot be done by human abilities, human strength, or human wisdom. It takes a person who is dependent on God, who is Christ-centered, and who is Spirit-filled. And God is sifting our souls daily, seeking those who can bear up and stand up to God's call. Sadly, many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus says, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, wait a minute. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. But he said, the laborers are few. Don't you think his next command would be, go? Don't you think that would be the next command? Seeing such an abundant harvest and knowing the laborers are few, shouldn't we just get up and get to work? But why? Why does he instead say pray? Maybe even though we are called, it is God who chooses, who will mission and labor in his fields, both where, when, and how. Maybe it's him that chooses. Prayer is an issue of the heart. We need to pray to God to open our hearts to his calling. We need to pray to God about the harvest and about the laborers. Prayer is an invitation for God to come in and sift our souls. Prayer is a request filled with trembling and fear because we are declaring, here am I, send me. You know you are called, but are you willing? Are you willing to be chosen? You know you're called, but you have to respond in faith to Jesus Christ. You know you're called, for it says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and all. But are you willing to be chosen? For it also says, but grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know you are called, for it says there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. But are you willing? Are you willing to be chosen? That's the question. For it also says, but grace was given to you, each according to the measure of Christ's gift. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. God just has not just called apostles, prophets, and teachers. God seeks laborers, common everyday folks like you and me, doing common everyday work in a common everyday world, reaching common everyday souls for the kingdom. God is calling folks just like you and me. You know it in the very depths of your soul. You've heard him. You've heard him call you. The only question is whether or not you will let yourself be chosen. And that's your decision. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now comes the question. Are you willing to pray to be chosen? Are you willing? Are you willing to pray?